Hello everyone, it's Mark Goodacre here. Welcome to the NT Pod, the podcast all about the New Testament and Christian origins. It's episode 114, and today I'm going to be asking, is Luke a historian? When I was at university, it was one of the classic questions, is Luke a historian or a theologian? If you got to your finals and that question was on the paper, you'd go, great, because I know how to answer that one. I mean, the question is basically a way of getting you to come to terms with key features in Luke's gospel. You know, is Luke interested in history, or does he have like high degrees of literary creativity? What's his theological outlook? And does the theological outlook change the way that he writes? And it's a way of saying, what's more important to Luke, history or theology? And of course, the way that a good student would always answer this would be to say both. And they would probably say, if you're pitching history against theology, then that's problematic. And for a great answer, I think you should always, in an exam, in a paper, challenge the premise of the question. Say, it's not either or. Obviously, he can be both historian and theologian. Beyond that summary, though, what is the answer? I mean, is Luke interested in history? And for me, the answer is surely yes. I mean, he tries harder than any of the other evangelists to date events and to provide political details. I mean, look at Luke 2 verse 1. For all its historical problems, he does try and set the birth of Jesus at the time of a census, mentioning Caesar Augustus, who's not mentioned by any of the other gospels. And then he even mentioned this local leader, Quirinius. And then a chapter later, 3:1-2, you have this elaborate timing of when John the Baptist's preaching began, and hence when Jesus's ministry began shortly afterwards. And he says that it takes place in the 15th year of the emperor Tiberius, which, since Tiberius probably becomes emperor around 14 CE, that brings us to about 29 CE. And that kind of coheres with other things he tells us. Later in chapter 3, he says that Jesus was about 30 when he began his ministry. So Luke is trying really hard to pinpoint when in world history and when in Israel's history these things actually happened. And he has other details here as well. He talks about Pontius Pilate. This is the only place in the Gospels where he's called Pontius Pilate, and he was called Pontius Pilate. We've got ancient evidence for that. He mentions the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. He mentions Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee. He says that his brother was also a tetrarch of Iturian Trachonitis. All of this actually maps quite nicely with stuff that we know from the Jewish historian Josephus, with stuff that we know from archaeology, from coins, and so on. And this Herod the Tetrarch in Luke even features in Jesus's trial. So there's a kind of continuous narrative there about him as a key character. And he has that historian's instinct as well to correct things that might be problematic in his sources. So one of the notorious things in Mark's gospel that's problematic is Mark 6:17 says that Herodias was Herod's brother's Philip's wife before she married Herod the Tetrarch. And Matthew 14:3 makes the same apparent error. The thing is, if you look at Josephus, Herodias was not married to Philip. She was married to someone called, wait for it, Herod. So that is a little bit confusing. But she wasn't married to Philip. Philip was married to Herodias' daughter, Salome. So you could see how someone could make that kind of mistake. And some people resist it and say, it's a different Philip that we didn't know about previously. Or maybe the Herod that Josephus mentions in this context is Herod Philip and so on. And there's ways of harmonizing it. But I think that when Luke sees Matthew and Mark here, he thinks, this doesn't chime in with what I've read in Josephus, and he changes it quite cleverly. So in Luke 3:19 to 20, he simply talks about Herodias as his brother's wife. So for what it's worth, I think it's highly likely that Luke has checked the information that he finds in Mark and Matthew against Josephus, and he makes these kind of corrections. But therein lies one of the problems, because the more precise you are, the more vulnerable you are to potential snafus of different kinds. I mean, the dating in 2:1, which puts Jesus's birth at the time of Quirinius's census, means that Jesus's birth is in 6 CE, 10 years after the death of Herod the Great, with which Luke's story has begun only a few verses earlier, in 1:5. So how did that happen? And then Luke 3:2, he says the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas. That's strange as well, because for Josephus, this is just Caiaphas's time as high priest. Interestingly enough, John seems to do the same thing and makes both Annas and Caiaphas high priests in his passion narrative. And the other thing that's strange about the beginning of Luke 3 is, who on earth is Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene? There are wonderful theories about this person, but there doesn't seem, as far as we know, to have been a Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene at about the time when John the Baptist was beginning his public mission and the time that Jesus was too. But our question, I suppose, is whether Luke is a historian, not how accurate a historian he is. And, you know, being a historian is about more than names and dates. How often have you heard people saying, well, I never really liked history at school because I wasn't very good at names and dates? I mean, it's kind of a bonkers thing to say, because we only learn names and dates because they're relevant to the broader story in which they're embedded. But that's a story for another day. But yeah, but back to the point. Is historian the right way to think about Luke? He certainly wants to stress telling the story properly, like all good historians. And his preface, Luke 1, 1-4, implies some critique of his predecessors. And he claims to have investigated everything carefully from the beginning. He's really done his research. He wants you to know, like a good historian, that he's done all of his research. And there's an attempt as well at biographical plausibility. So instead of pausing for great big long discourses like you have in Matthew's gospel, Luke more subtly intertwines his narrative material with his sayings, creating a kind of momentum in the story. And Luke also seems to draw attention to the obviously selective nature of his record. The thing is, you've only got 24 chapters in Luke, and if you added up all the time in Luke that it would take for Jesus to do those things, it would only be a few days. So one of the things that Luke does, like a lot of good storytellers, is he essentially says, well, there was a bit of time passed, and then this happened. And there was a bit of time passed, and then this happened. He uses a lovely old expression, and it came to pass, which implies that Luke is kind of dipping into certain things about Jesus's life, and that he could tell us much more. So Luke's gospel is certainly a compellingly told story. And unlike any of the other three canonical gospels, he adds a whole second volume. And after all, when we get to the end of any historical episode, we always want to know what happened next, don't we? So I love the fact that Luke has a second volume, Acts of the Apostles. And that too, to me, makes Luke a historian. What about that theological question, though? If it's wrong to put history and theology against one another, could we say that Luke is more often a theologian than he's a historian? Or is he more a historian than a theologian? Do we need to draw like a kind of spectrum and work out where Jesus is on the spectrum from history to theology? But I think even that frames the question in the wrong way. Because Luke is doing his theology by means of history. That's how I would have answered the question. Perhaps how I did answer the question as a student, I can't remember now. But Luke does his theology by means of history. He thinks that telling the story is a theological process. So you show what God's plan is by telling the story to show how God's plan was being enacted in Jesus. And that makes Luke and Acts very similar to those Old Testament histories, books like 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, where you do your theology by telling the story. It's like saying, I'm going to tell you the story of God by telling the story of Israel, and then you learn things about God. Just as Luke says, I'm going to tell you the story of Jesus, and by telling you the story of Jesus, we will find out theological things about who Jesus is and what he did. Having said all of that, I have to be honest and say that I am a kind of nuts and bolts, old-fashioned scholar, to the extent that I do want to know if Luke is telling us about historical things. However good he is at acting like an ancient historian, does he actually tell us historical stuff about Jesus? Well, I don't think for a second that Luke made everything up. He's surprisingly faithful to his Markan source and his Matthean source. And I realize not everyone thinks that Luke knew Matthew. That's fine. But I've argued it at some length, so I hope you don't mind me presupposing the stuff that I've argued for. But he does remain amazingly faithful to Mark and Matthew. And that suggests someone that is interested in being true to his source material, like a lot of good historians are. Except, of course, where he isn't. Because there are places in Luke where his versions of stories that you find in Mark and Matthew are radically different. In Luke 4:16 to 30, you get the rejection at Nazareth. And this seems to be based on a story that we find in Mark chapter 6 and in Matthew chapter 13. But Luke's story is so different. It's like three times the length of the Markan and the Matthean story. And there's whole plot twists and developments that aren't there in the Markan and Matthean story. And Jesus talks a lot more. I mean, it's a really different story, in spite of the fact it's recognizably the same story. So that raises the question, has Luke embellished his source material here? Of course, some scholars will say he's got a different source for this material. You can always have that. You know, maybe Q had a rejection at Nazareth story. Maybe Proto-Luke had a story. Maybe L had the story. But I like to think that it's more likely that Luke simply embellished and overwrote the source there, Mark and Matthew, which means that sometimes he does take liberties with his source material. He does something really similar only a chapter later in the calling of the first disciples. In Luke, it's Peter, James, and John who are all mentioned. And whereas it's a quick incident in Mark chapter 1 and in Matthew chapter 4, in Luke, it's a much larger incident, and it's combined with a miracle. So Jesus initiates this miraculous haul of fish, and Peter, as a result of this, follows Jesus. So again, huge overwriting of the source material. I'll give a third example. Luke 7:36 to 50 is the story of the anointing at Simon the Pharisee's house in Luke. And this seems to be a version of a story of an anointing in a different Simon's house, Simon the man with leprosy, in Mark 14 and Matthew 26. And the story's just so different. I mean, again, there are elements that make it look like Luke's telling the same story, but he's telling it far earlier in the narrative with massive extra details in there. And it's no longer a story about Jesus's passion. It's a story about repentance and forgiveness. So if Luke only has his sources in Mark and Matthew for those stories, then Luke is capable of really interesting literary creativity. I confess that that's what I think is going on in those places. But of course, with all these things, you can never demonstrate it for sure, because someone will always be able to say, well, maybe there was another source, maybe it was Luke's oral tradition, maybe it was something else. I suppose for me, if Luke can take those sorts of liberties with his source material, he is an author that has a degree of freedom and flexibility with sources that he nevertheless at other times is quite conservative with. So he falls somewhere in the middle of that spectrum of faithfulness to sources, but creatively rewriting his sources. So Luke is a historian, yes, but he's a historian in the ancient sense, someone who is happy to take some liberties with the source material in the interest of his theology. And as well, other interests, literary interests too. But I'm happy, in the round, to say, yeah, Luke's a historian, and he does his theology by means of the way that he tells his history. Well, thanks so much for listening to this latest episode of the NT Pod. It's always good to have your company. You can find me on the web at podacre.blogspot.com. You can download the podcast from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and elsewhere. And you can also find us on YouTube, where it has pictures. Hop along there and subscribe and follow. Thanks so much again for listening. Bye-bye.